good morning and a good Sunday to you as we welcome you in. It is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VEASAN studios here at the South Point. He's Michael Lombardi there at the Borgata in Atlantic City. We say good morning, Michael. How you doing? Welcome.
Good morning to you, Patrick. Yeah, everything's good. How you doing today, huh?
I'm doing great, man. And you know what? I was thinking about yesterday. So let's get into this. We've got eight early, five late. You've got the Sunday night game. But I thought about my buddy Michael Lombardi, because you're a sharp guy. And you always, we talk about betting numbers, but don't bet rankings. And yesterday was a bad day for the ranked teams, of course. Oklahoma getting beat as a 27.5 point favorite. LSU going down to Mississippi State and Mike Leach. It goes on and on. Let's start there today. Don't bet these rankings. It's too suggestive as far as early on in the year.
You know, evaluate the evaluator, right? Who's making these rankings? Like, what do they actually really know? I mean, it's like the man on the street questions that you get asked. Like, they ask people sophisticated questions about something they don't know the answer to, right? And so you get an opinion, but it's an informed opinion. You know what I always think about? Jimmy Kimmel does this thing called Lie Witness News, and he sends his guys out to the to all different events. And so one time he sent them out to South by Southwest in Austin, Texas, and they started asking people, what do you think of the Gold Digger Band? And people actually answered the question, oh man, that's a great band. They were tremendous last night. Well, they don't even exist.
It's suggestive.
They don't even exist.
Yep.
Right. And so that's exactly what rankings are. They don't exist. Like, we're betting on something that doesn't exist. It's lie witness news. And I think that, unfortunately, we have this, it's been conditioned by the books, by advertising. You know, they like it. They like us to go in there and, you know, like, did you know, did we know Alabama? I mean, we knew Alabama would beat Missouri, but we didn't know what Missouri's team was really all about. It's so hard to go down that road, and I think it's really just a guess, and I think yesterday proved you're going to guess wrong more than you're going to guess right.
Well, and that's why it's very important. We talked about LSU on the show. We said there's five returners on defense. We said, of course, this is going to be a much different team. They were ranked six because of what happened last year, a 15-0 run with Joe Burrow. This is completely different. A quarterback makes a franchise. A quarterback makes a program. This LSU team isn't even a semblance of what it was last year.
No, and look, let's face it. We know Big Ed. You know, he's a recruiter. He's not a game. You know, once that game starts, Ed's effectiveness is over, right? We know this, right? I mean, this is, you know, and losing Joe Brady was huge. I know Steve Eminger is still there as the offensive coordinator, but they were mixing in those New Orleans Saints ideas, and I don't think the quarterback obviously is as good as anything that they probably should have at LSU. They should be at a higher level, and it's the same thing, I think. And plus, let's face it, in fairness to the young men, it's going to take some time to get them up to speed and playing faster during a competitive game. So, you know, look, Mike Leach, we know he's a great coach. KJ Costello threw the ball over the lot, and that's what Mike Leach does, right? Mike Leach finds a way to win games that he probably shouldn't win.
Keep it simple, stupid. They kept on showing him with his little, it almost looks like a cocktail napkin. Those are his plays.
Yeah, it looks like he's got one of these little things here that he's just writing down. You know, it's like, and everybody thinks he runs this really sophisticated offense. Mm-hmm. And Mike runs about eight pass plays and never calls a run. He never calls a run. He only caught the runs only happen based on the box, based on where players are in the box. He never calls, oh, I want to come out and establish the run. No, he's going to take exactly what he thinks he can take, the wheel route. You know, he's got it all pretty well figured out. And when you are simple and you are condensed, you have a much easier time adjusting during the game.
And it's the perfect quarterback to run the offense. Costello is a poli sci. He already graduated from Stanford. So Mike Leach takes him on over at Miss State. And again, it's almost like he just, you mentioned he has those 15 plays and he just exposes. He looks for your weaknesses and he exposes a defense. And that's a young defense right now for LSU.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, they couldn't match up very well on the outside. So, you know, and you try to play a man-to-man game against Mike Leach, he's going to find ways to get you the football. And one thing we did say yesterday, we know Mississippi State and Mississippi, which got routed in their game against Florida, Kyle Trask, but there's talent at both schools.
100%. We do welcome you in. Again, a ton to get to. You've got the 8 early games NFL-wise. You've got the 5 in the late window. And, of course, Sunday night as we open it up here on the Lombardi Line. We've got a ton to do. Amal Shaw is going to be stopping by. Will Hill, Point Spread Weekly, going to be stopping by. Again, it is a great Sunday. Week 3 in the NFL. We welcome you in. It is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VEASAN studios here at the South Point. Michael Lombardi, avoid those rankings. And, again, Texas was on the ropes. Tennessee was on the ropes at 16. A&M, the number 10 ranked team in the country, was on the ropes at home against Vandy. So this was very telling. Yesterday we said it was a big week in college football. It was very telling. Now we know moving forward about these teams.
No doubt. Now we can at least start to evaluate, and especially now that we know that Florida and Kyle Trask are pretty good, right?
Very good.
We know South Carolina is still not the same team. We know that Tennessee kind of is going to be a good team. We know Kentucky's quarterback situation isn't very good, right? We know Auburn, you know, where they are on defense may not be quite. So you could start handicapping the Southeast Conference because we're going to see repetitive play against one another, right? So we're going to be able to look at that. We know LSU is vulnerable to the forward pass. So now we got a chance to really handicap and what they can do. We know Georgia, who they started at quarterback and what they look like. We know Arkansas, you know, gave it a good effort with Pittman as the first game, but are they going to be good enough all year? There lies the problem. And I think that's where we can start making some money, drilling down on some of these Southeast Conference schools.
Oh, and by the way, as far as the NFL is concerned, we start to get an idea, yards per play, red zone defense, red zone offense, how you come up with your power ratings. We're starting to have some data that we can apply to the betting market.
No doubt. And it's really important. I mean, look, you know, when you go through it, you go at, you know, what I try to look at, especially in terms of how the teams execute rushes and completions, when you add those two numbers together, when you sit down and say, okay, we had 35 running attempts and we had 20 completions, that gets you to 55. Anything over 53 is really good. What does that tell you as a bettor? It tells you that that team is executing. That team has got really good precision within their offense. When you don't have those high numbers, and sometimes Kansas City doesn't get those high numbers because they're so explosive down the field, their execution is good, but they don't have it sustainable all the time in terms of they don't need to do it. So those are important numbers. And then you could start getting all these numbers together and come up with a power ranking of your teams. And then as it applies to who they're playing, you get a better handle on it.
Yeah, of course, we have Kansas City and Baltimore coming up on Monday. You just nailed it. That's a good point by you. You know, Kansas City's middling as far as the numbers, yards per play against. And then you look at Baltimore. Baltimore's at the tops as far as, and we look at these numbers. Some numbers are more important when applying to the betting market. Yards per play, you know, third down offense, red zone offense. We'll get into those in just a little bit. Michael, by the way, Aaron has come up with a board. There are three teams in particular I asked specifically a separate board for injuries: the 49ers, the Jets, and the Chargers. When we get to those games, we'll throw up the board as far as the injuries, but a lot of these teams are hampered by injuries right now.
Yeah, and I like, there's a lot of, I thought the Tennessee-Minnesota game was a trap game, and I'm laying away from it. I know a lot of people are on Tennessee. There's something on in that game. I don't know where Minnesota's injuries are, where Tennessee is, where their health is, where they are with Henry and all that. That one scares me. Today, you know, yesterday there was no action at all on Tennessee. There was no real money on Tennessee, and yet the number was moving. Today, the number's up. 43% of the money that's come in is on Tennessee, 57 on Minnesota. The number is stuck, is now, I think we have it, you have it at 2.5.
Yep.
Some of the places I see here at 3. So there's some games out there that I think are just, that looked really easy, that aren't. Like the two teams that have beat up players, San Francisco and the Jets, that line, I mean, I don't know what that line started at 4. Now it's at 3.5. Is that what you have too?
Yep, 100%. Why don't we stick with that? Titans and the Vikings. The Titans 2-0, and the Vikings 0-2. Both 0-2 ATS. But we'll take a look at this number. You know, this is why it's so key. Remember, 3 is the key number when betting the NFL. You got to shop for the best number, because right now, if you want to bet Tennessee, you can get 2.5 at some books, and if you want to bet Minnesota, you can get 3 at a few books. We've got it here at 2.5. Why don't we start with the cap? A big total here of 50, Michael.
Yeah, you look, and look, Minnesota has been horrible on defense, and they've got a ton of injuries. Anthony Barr is not going to play in this game, right? So we know that he's on injured reserve. Their offensive line has been a mess. It hasn't been very good. And so you've got concerns about that. I mean, when you go through the injury report, you know, they also have Cameron Dantzler, their rookie corner. He's out. Danielle Hunter's out. You know, Mike Boone, their backup running back, he's the third string. He's questionable to play. So there's a ton of injuries on that board. Also, Vic Beasley, who's been hurt most of the year, he's going to play. Malcolm Butler's going to play. But then when you – Adoree Jackson and A.J. Brown for Tennessee won't play. Tennessee has been very effective throwing the football. They have not been able to really run the ball as well as you think. And I think when you see that, you know – the Tennessee has to rely on Ryan Tannehill. They have to rely on their ability to pass protect. And sometimes that offensive line can be vulnerable. Cleek Blackman is the official for today. 74-78 is the home official against the spread. And under, he's 81-74.
Yeah, you mentioned Minnesota. Listen, Cousins is struggling as far as pass yards per game. They're 32nd. Rush yards, they're 20th. Yards per play, they're middling. You know, yards against. The defense is really what's taken a step back this year. We knew the secondary was depleted in Minnesota, but they are just struggling defensively.
They really are, and they can't cover. I mean, Mike Hughes is their best cover guy, and he's not a cover guy. Like I mentioned, Dantzler's out. Gladney, the first-round draft pick from TCU, he hasn't played. There's really – and then add into the fact that they can't get any pressure. Anthony Barr's not going to play. He's on IR, so they don't really – can't blitz him. This is not a typical season for Mike Zimmer, really. This is a rebuilding year. This is a really young team. You know, I have them, believe this or not, their power ranking, according to mine, is the same level as the New York Football Jets. Think about that, Patrick.
Wow.
I mean, their numbers come out to the same numbers as the Jets. That's how bad they've been in the first 2 weeks of the season. And so you would say, well, Lombardi, if that's the case, why wouldn't you just jump all over Tennessee and take them? Because there's something wrong
there.
My numbers say I should take them. I just can't take it. There's something there. It should be too easy.
I know, but Michael, it's 2 weeks. Here's the thing. We came into the season, NFC North. The Vikings were your betting favorites. I mean, it was close with the Packers, obviously, depending on what book you're looking at. But how much has changed the perception and the reality of the Vikings 2 weeks in? Everything's flipped.
No, and Green Bay has found a down the field passing game. Look, you know, I said Matthew Stafford, if he played this season like he did the first eight games, he was the best quarterback, assuming that Aaron Rodgers wasn't going to tab this uptick that he's had the first 2 weeks. And yes, he's had the uptick. Now, there's no doubt about it. He's been dynamic against Minnesota, but we know Minnesota's defense isn't very good. And then, you know, he did the same thing against your Detroit Lions, and we know the Detroit Lions defense isn't very good, but yet he's been able to play effectively. That's the other thing I think you have to be really careful about. How good these 2-0 teams and these numbers sometimes are against bad teams. Houston's numbers are really bad, but they've played two good teams, right? Chicago's numbers are good, but they've played two bad teams. They played Detroit, and then they've come back and played the New York Football Giants. So the numbers a little bit are I don't say the numbers are perfect yet. I think after 4 weeks, I think that's when these numbers get locked in.
There is no way I'm laying 3 with the Titans at Minnesota. There's something that feels like a trap here. Now, they have been good. Titans 5-1-1 ATS, Michael, their last 7 games as a favorite. And, you know, Cousins, he threw the 3 picks. He was sacked 3 times last week against Indianapolis. Anthony Barr being out in the middle of that offense scares me. The Vikings allowed Jonathan Taylor over 100 rush yards at 4.9 a pop. That points well to Henry. Everything is pointing towards taking Tennessee, and that's why I'm running away from it.
Me too. And I feel like, look, when I watch Tennessee against Jacksonville, I watch Gardner Minshew move the ball effectively against the Tennessee secondary. Whether Malcolm Butler plays today or not, or Adoree Jackson, we know he's out. They could not rush the passer. The Mr. Overrated defensive lineman, Javon Clowney, is supposed to stop everything.
Oh,
the
stop
Superman.
It. You're picking
on him. He got his
him.
Cape out there. He's going to stop every pass play. That's what the media tells us. He's the greatest football player in America. You know, he's going to stop everything. He leaps tall buildings in a single bound. He did nothing. They blocked him like he was just a luckless pedestrian. So, you know, for me, it was, you know, like, I don't see Tennessee's defense. I think it's an Achilles heel to their team this year. And we will find out today if Minnesota can throw the football. I think they'll throw the ball on Tennessee.
You know, you're just being mean. Okay.
Why? I didn't start the clowny mythology. I did not start it. It starts at the worldwide leader where they told, oh my God, they got clowny. They got clowny. They paid him $15 million.
He's fired up. I'm protective. I went to South Carolina. I love Jadeveon Clowney.
I mean, I think he is a great talent, but he is not a great talent any longer. His knees are bad. I've tried to tell people he can't practice. His knees are bad. He's not in shape. He did nothing this offseason, you know, and Tennessee knew about what his activities were this offseason, and yet they still put $15 million on the table. I mean, it's really, there's some bad contracts, the Howard contract that Miami for $5 million, he comes in as a short yardage back. Can you imagine doing that for $5 million? There's some really bad contracts that people are starting to see now. We'll know more about it after 4 weeks. Gronk at $10 million to be a blocker? Seriously, you think that's a good contract?
What do you got? You got knees of steel over there, Mr. Atlantic City? All right, Rams, Bills, 2-0, two 2-0 teams. Everybody loves these two teams right now. This is unbelievable. And we have to be fair to Josh Allen. Can we be fair to him?
I've been fair.
He's completing over 70% of his passes.
I have been fair. And last week against Miami, he threw the ball down the field effectively. I have been very fair to him. He's not been rushed. I thought the first week he did a good job moving his feet. Brian Daboll's done a really good job of tailoring the offense. It's more Lamar Jackson offense. But against Miami, against all that cover one in Miami, Josh Allen made throws down the field. And if he continues to do that, that gives Buffalo a great chance. Today, it'll be a little bit of the same. I mean, the Rams are more cover two. They'll play some cover one. They're going to try to mix it up. They don't have a great pass rush, but they have the great Aaron Donald inside. It'll be interesting to see what Buffalo does. This market here, I don't think there's no – everybody is on one team or the other. It's split right down the road. The ticket count split down the road, 52-48. The money count split down the road, 54-46 in favor of Buffalo. The line opened at 3 Buffalo. Now it's down to 1. We have it at 2. Some places it's -1, -1.5. They're out there. Shop for the best deal. I think I stayed away because I thought it was a pick 'em game. I really did. When I broke it down, I thought the Rams should be in a slight favorite, but I wasn't. But again, I wasn't convinced that I should bet that one, so I stayed away from it. I had the Rams as a slight favorite in this one. The Rams should have been where are my numbers. The Rams should have been a 1-point favorite.
Okay, so
but it should have been a pick 'em game. Is really what it should have been.
Okay, so if the money's split here, we've come off the key number of 3. The Bills opened a 3-point favorite at home. It's now down to 1.5 or 2 as we have it here on VSiN. So that means important money on the Rams. Maybe in the money on the Rams here.
That's exactly right. And if I were recommending this game, I would take the Rams. I would be on the Rams side because I think both teams are equal, and you're going to give me points. I'll take the points.
And one thing about Josh Allen, what we've seen, Michael, is he is stretching the field as well. I mean, it's not just dink and dunk. I mean, give credit. And the Diggs trade was incredible for him.
Last week, it really showed up. He got behind that secondary for Miami. He made huge plays. And if he could continue to do that, Buffalo. Now, Buffalo played that game in Miami, and Miami had him down. Miami had a chance to win that game. Buffalo played him really well. Buffalo did not have Edmonds, their inside linebacker, which when you look at Sean McDermott's defense, the Mike linebacker, that is the key to their defense, right? He's the one. It's the Luke Kuechly part of the defense. They didn't have Edmonds. They didn't have Milano, and yet they still played Miami and won in Miami in a heat game. Look, don't underestimate the humidity and the heat. Miami was the team that got tired in the fourth quarter down there, not Buffalo.
There's a reason to love these two teams. The Bills rank 3rd in yards per play. The Rams are 6th. The Rams rank 3rd in third down conversions. The Bills are 8th. The Rams have the 5th fewest penalty yards, and on and on and on. These are two clean teams right now with really, you can't point to many flaws. Although the Bills, you would like to, you know, Miami in retrospect now looks a little bit better.
No doubt. I think Miami, and I said that, I thought Miami was a good 0-2 team going into Thursday night. That's why I liked them in the points. You know, Buffalo has done a really good job with their execution. I mean, you know, rushing and completions, they're 15th in the league. On defense, they're 5th. They've done a really, excuse me, they're 10th on an offense and 4th on defense. They've done a really good job. Time of possession. How do you play great defense? You play less defense. They're 13th in the National Football League in defense possession. 14th in the red zone, 4-point plays. I mean, they've done a really good job of fixing it. And yards per play, that's where they made it up. And here's the other key for their team. They're the number 2 team in the National Football League in first half point differential, meaning that they're playing from in front all the time.
Here's the number for you as far as Sean McVay and the Rams. The Rams are 9-2 ATS, their last 11 on the road. 9-2 ATS, their last 11 on the road. This is a team that's clicking right now. If the basketball, baseball, and hockey, Michael, if that action's not enough for you at BetMGM Sports, well, football's back. And BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app from the same folks who bring you the best sports book and casino action in Las Vegas, BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip. Bring your state-issued ID, open an account, start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM state-of-the-art technology, fan-friendly specials every day of the week. If you're excited about the return of basketball, baseball, hockey, then it's time to believe in your game at BetMGM. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older, physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Got a gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. I don't know about you, man. I woke up today. I sprung out of bed. I said, it's week 3 in the, this is about as good as it gets, right? I'm guessing it's got a fall feel there in Atlantic City. We're cooking.
No, it's a little warm here today, so it's really not quite fall. It's got a summer feel here today, but this place is cooking. You could tell the pool's going to be packed today, and there's so many good games on. I mean, there is a sense of urgency here, though. There is a trepidation here because these Philadelphia Eagles is make or break time. It's going to be hard.
We'll get to the Eagles coming up. We've got the weather board coming up. We've got great 0-2 stats coming up. Will Hill, Josh Applebaum, and more as we get you started here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Of course, it is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Okay, Indeed helps you find the high-impact hire for your business needs, and fast. You're going to find lots of great candidates, no long-term contracts, and Indeed.com/high-impact. Bet smarter, Michael, not harder. How confident are you betting on this weekend's football games? There's always room to improve, and we've got you covered here at VSiN. If you're up on Marquee Sports Network in the Midwest or NESN, we encourage you, get a 7-day risk-free trial. Place your bet with confidence. Point Spread Weekly, our digital betting guide. You get the daily email with the picks. That's the best part. Plus the parlay calculator. Just everything you need to become a more sophisticated bettor, and it's free right now. Go to vsin.com/subscribe. It's very simple. Michael Lombardi is there. I see him sipping on his coffee over at the Borgata. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VSiN studios here at the South Point. We got some juice here, man, because as far as week 3 in the NFL. Now, this number is fascinating. So the Eagles, you just mentioned it. Let's get to it. The Eagles open anywhere between 6.5 and 7-point favorite hosting the Bengals, 2-0-2 teams. This number has been bet all the way down to 4.5 and a total of 47, Michael.
There's panic in the air, Patrick.
There is panic.
I mean, you know, look, everybody's blaming Carson Wentz. I mean, I heard Amal Shaw go crazy on Carson Wentz. He wants him arrested. He says he's stealing. It's a grand larceny. Like, what did Carson Wentz do to Amal Shaw? I need to find this out. Like, I was walking through the book to go get coffee today, and I hear Amal Shaw going completely berserk.
He just gets fired up. He gets stuck on something. He's going to be joining us later.
He wanted to have half the town arrested, and then Carson Wentz. I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, look, here's the reality, and I wrote about this for The Athletic. Carson Wentz in 2017, the Super Bowl year, the Eagles were, this is really hard to understand, the Eagles were the seventh worst team in the National Football League that season in having third downs. Third and seven or more. That's really kind of hard. When you're a good offense, you typically are never in third and sevens. Good offenses play Canadian football. They get first downs and two downs. But the Eagles that year were the seventh worst team in the league in third and seven or more. However, Carson Wentz converted those thirds and sevens at an unbelievable rate and averaged 9.45 yards per attempt on third down. Think about that, Patrick.
Wow.
On third down, he was almost at 10 yards a play. Now, that is gone. Why is that gone? Frank Wright left. He's now the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. The Eagles have 12 offensive assistants on Doug Peterson's staff. They have, actually, I said this on my podcast, they have more people than Eisenhower did planning the D-Day invasion on the offensive staff. It's remarkable. How do you get anything done with 12 people in a room? Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that? And so, and why I bring that up is because they have no identity. When you have 12 people involved in anything, you're never going to have an identity. They don't run the ball. Their Super Bowl year, they had Blunt. They traded for Ajayi. They ran the ball. They spread run. It was hard. You had to prepare for Blunt in the box. He was going to run you over if you didn't. They had outside receiver in Torrey Smith who could stretch the field. And they had inside receivers who could make plays. This team is not built for right now. And Amal can be mad at Wentz, but when you watch the route running, when you watch Whiteside not cross the face of the corner at last week against the Rams and the ball gets picked off, you can blame Wentz. It wasn't on Wentz. You can blame Wentz for the interception against Washington where he throws the out and the corner doesn't run really a really good route. So I think it's a lot of problems. And what bothered me last week, and I was on the Eagles last week, was the lack of defensive line play. These linebackers for the Eagles, I'm going to say it here, they are the worst linebackers in the National Football League. And I promise you, Alabama would be ahead of them. Alabama, Clemson, they've got better linebackers than the Eagles would play with. And Sean McVay took advantage of it. We'll see if my man Zach Taylor could take advantage of it for the Bengals today.
Dylan Moses ain't walking through that door. Alabama linebacker.
No, burp.
Fletcher Cox, by the way, he is questionable as far as playing. These two teams, gross. Amal Shaw is going to be in 31 minutes. You guys can settle your little difference there as far as Carson Wentz.
I don't
Wentz.
Have a difference with him. I just love
his
passion. Well,
it sounds like you
killing
do.
Wentz.
My gosh, you're yelling at me. I didn't say anything.
I think Wentz is not playing well. I don't disagree, but I think there's a lot of factors. Yeah, you know, let me see. They're going to get Barnett back today. They're going to get Brandon Graham back today. They're both going to be active, so we'll see.
Come on.
And who do we have here? Adrian Hill's the official. He's a new official. He's 9-8 against the spread at home team, and he's 10-7 with the under.
If they're not moving the football, if they can't run the football, can't throw the football against this Bengal defense, they've got problems. The Bengals are 0-13 straight up their last 13 games on the road. They lose by an average of 8.6. Okay? If they can't beat the Bengals today, this is the two teams, by the way, gross, ranked 29th and 32nd in yards per play, respectively. These are two bad 0-2 teams right now. The Eagles looking to get right. We're going to get right coming back with Will Hill here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. It is VSiN, the sports betting network. You missed anything, remember, 7-day free trial right now. Go to vsin.com/subscribe. We're coming back on a Sunday here on VSiN. Make sure you're ready for the action. Sign up for First Bet, a new betting and handicapping product from ExpressBet. Use the promo code Vegas500 to get a $10 free bet as soon as you sign up, plus receive up to $500 bonus wagering your first 30 days. Visit first.com/bet. That's number1st.com/bet. Use the promo code Vegas500. Josh Applebaum's going to join in a bit. We've got some teaser tutorials for you, the importance of teasing through those key numbers. But right now, Will Hill's going to join us here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. I'm Patrick. He's Michael Lombardi, of course. Will Hill, a contributor, Point Spread Weekly, which is awesome, every single Wednesday. And we welcome Will. And by the way, Will, we were just talking about the Eagles, and the Eagles are on your list as a bet. Welcome.
What's going on, guys? How are you? I'm still waiting for the basketball talk from last night, but we can talk equals if you'd like.
Oh, you want to start? Well, why don't we start with some basketball?
He wants to pat himself on the back.
Let's do that.
He wants to pat himself on the back for the Lakers. He wants to pat himself on the back. He's driving the trophy in his car. Anytime he goes, gets pizza, he's got the trophy next to him. I mean, you know, look, you know, Denver, that. We don't need to talk about the Lakers.
No, we can. LeBron going to his 10th finals. Now, you are a Laker fan, Will Hill. We'll let you get off on the Lakers here quickly, and we'll move on to the football. What do you got?
You're so nice, Patrick.
Thank you.
Hey, Lombardi, look, if you think I'm bringing up the Lakers to pat myself on the back, let me just tell you something. You're 100% right. That's exactly what I'm doing.
117-107. They cover the 5.5. Yes, we know.
Yes. All right. On to the Eagles. Look, if you can't get right against the Bengals, you're not getting right. I think you got some value here. I think you got some value here on the Eagles. They have no takeaways. They're dead last in turnovers. They're way better on both offensive lines and defensive lines. Schwartz should be able to get pressure on Burrow, show him some looks he hasn't seen. I think they'll be able to turn over Cincy. They should be able to run the ball at will. I understand the concerns about Philly. I wrote them under all spring and all summer. I wasn't high on them, but this is my survivor pick this week. I'm big on Philly this week. Lay the 4, 4.5. This should be fine. Should be a 2-score win.
Now, you're also big go ahead, Michael.
He's acting like this is the Philadelphia team. They're 19-18 since the Super Bowl, right? And Carson Wentz is 14-16 since he's come back from his knee. Like, everybody talks like the Eagles are this magical team. They're just going to turn it on. Their offensive line is a complete mess, right? It's a complete mess. Their defensive line, whether Fletcher plays today or not, they do get some help with Barnett and Graham coming back. So I do think that. I do think Cincinnati without Mike Daniels playing, and without Geno Atkins for sure. Mike Daniels is questionable. We'll see. I like the pick. I am done with the Eagles thinking they're being a good team. I think it'll be a closer game than a 4.5. I'm not touching it, but I think there's a mythology attached to teams that win Super Bowls, and it carries on, and it's going to take a loss to a team like the Bengals to wake everybody up.
Will Hill, the Patriots have been bet up to 6.5, hosting the 2-0 Raiders. Where are you on this one?
I love the Patriots. I think there's going to be 252 games played in the NFL this year. I don't know if you'll find a better spot just situationally here than the Patriots. Raiders off a short week, off a big emotional win, flying west to east for a 10 a.m. start, facing the Patriots and Bill Belichick off a loss. If you look at Belichick's numbers against the spread off a loss, he basically covers 3/4 of the spread. You know the Raiders, they're bad on defense. The Patriots will be in a bad mood. So I like the Patriots here.
All right. We'll get, go ahead, Michael.
I think that's a great point. I think the Patriots, now David Andrews not playing. They're going to have to reshuffle their offensive line. They've got some availability. I mean, Joe Tooney has played center before. Whether they move him there or not, I'm not sure. But they're going to move that offensive line around. I don't think they're going to start James Ferentz there. I think without Henry Ruggs in the game, Belichick has a little bit of an easier task. This we do know. Waller's going to get doubled the minute he gets to the stadium. And if his knee is anywhere less than 100%, it's going to be a challenging day for him. They're going to force the ball. It's Aguilar and someone else, Zay Jones, are going to have to beat him. And neither of those guys are good enough to get away from these corners. I leaned a little bit towards the Raiders in the week. I thought this line would slide way down. I think the injuries and what Will said is why this line has stayed. And the steam is all on New England right now.
Looks like Waller and Jacobs are going to play for the Raiders. I like this one here, Will Hill. Bucks, Broncos, you're going under. It's a low total, 42.5, bet down from 44.5.
Yeah, we know Fangio's MO. Like, he's going to keep the ball in front of him. He's going to squash the opponent's running game. He's going to make you kick field goals and not let you get in the end zone. And then on offense, he's going to be conservative as it is. Now with a backup quarterback, he's going to be extra conservative. And for all the talk about the Buccaneers, Fournette, Brady, Gronkowski, their best side of the ball is defense right now. They've been a really good defense ever since the start of last year. The offense is still a little rusty for the Bucs, so I look for a low-scoring, ugly game, 20-13, that type of game. I like the under here.
Okay, you also like the Cowboys tonight. Let's go Cowboys catching 4.5 at Seattle.
Yeah, it should be a fun game, high-scoring game, and I think a close game. And I think the word great gets tossed around too much. we overuse it, but Russell Wilson is truly a great player. He's fun to watch. He's fun to bet on. But I think that's coming with a tax. I think people are starting to catch up, and they want to bet on Wilson. They don't want to bet against him. So I think this is a little expensive for that reason. And, you know, this isn't a bet against Wilson. This is a bet against the Seahawks defense. I mean, they could trade all the picks they want for Jamal Adams. They still can't cover the forward pass. You know, the Cowboys, they'll be able to move the ball. Seattle will be able to move the ball on Dallas. Should be a last team with the ball kind of game for both teams, really. It should be like the Patriots-Seahawks last week, where neither team can stop the other. And you could look at the Cowboys game from last week one of two ways. You could say, you know, they were lucky to win, and you'd be right. But they also fumbled four times in the first quarter, which I don't think I've ever seen before. They failed two fake punts, which I know I've never seen before, and they still won. They still scored 40 points. So both teams should be able to score here. Should be a back-and-forth game, and I'll take the Cowboys to upset them.
All right. He's our buddy.
A little on the money line. Take the boys here.
Will Hill, Pats, Giants, Cowboys, Eagles, and he likes the Broncos, Bucks under. Point spread weekly. You can read them on Wednesdays. Will Hill, thank you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Will. Make sure you polish that trophy now. Make sure you do that. All right.
Make sure he is Will Hill.
Every hour on the hour.
Yeah, we appreciate him. He's a big Lakers fan. Of course, the Lakers. I don't know if you watched it last night covering the 5.5. The number was going towards Denver, and the Lakers end up winning by 10 there, Michael.
Yeah, I was on the Lakers. There's no way this wasn't going to happen. I think LeBron was going to make sure he got some extra rest, get his body in shape. And I think that they knew they needed to take the life out of that. You know, I do like that Cowboy pick. I think Will made a great, great point. There is a tax on Wilson. This line opened up at 5 in Dallas. And, I mean, you get 5. I think this is a close game. I think Dallas could even win it. But I think Will's right. There is a tax you're paying. I would never bet this game if it was 3. Never. I would never recommend it. At 5, I would.
Another over, by the way, cashes in the conference finals in the NBA. Josh Applebaum, a market update coming up next right here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Okay, September showtime. BetMGM Sports are offering a new customer, if that's you, a chance to win $100 in free bets when they place a $1 wager. The Cowboys-Seahawks game, if either team scores a touchdown, you're going to win. That's a free $100. Just sign up, make your first bet with the bonus code VSIN100 to take advantage of the special offer. There's never been a better time to sign up at BetMGM Sports, the king of sportsbooks. Download the BetMGM app today. Use the promo code VSIN100 to win $100. When you bet the Cowboys-Seahawks, if either team scores a touchdown, boom, you win. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years or older, Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, West Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. Got a gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700, Colorado, Nevada, 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Okay, we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line. Good morning and a good Sunday to you. I'm getting some juicy text messages from my buddies, Michael Lombardi, there at the Borgata in Atlantic City. I'm not going to read what you just texted. Some big names putting big money down. Josh Applebaum's a big name. You can get the podcast every day, Monday through Friday, noon. Market Insights, he's here with a market update. Hi, Josh. Good morning.
Hey, Patrick. Hey, Michael. Yeah, happy week three here in the NFL. And, you know, one trend that I want to talk about today that I think is really important and better should have in the back of their mind is this trend that we see to teams that are 0-2 straight up and specifically 0-2 also against the spread going into week three. If you look at it just, you know, throughout history, especially, and it's really gotten better over the last few years here, over the last four seasons, teams that are 0-2 straight up in week three, they cover the number. They're 19-6 against the spread. That's a 76% cover rate. That's an absurd rate overall. And I think this speaks to kind of a little bit of overreaction and also buying low on teams that have cost bettors money. So if you're 0-2, especially straight up, and ATS bettors are mad at you, they don't want to back you, they want to automatically fade you. The holy grail is if you're both 0-2 ATS and 0-2 straight up. And two games that would match that criteria I want to run by you, especially Michael, get your take here. The first one is the Houston Texans. They're 0-2 straight up. They're 0-2 against the spread. They're going to Pittsburgh here for a 1 o'clock game. The public is all over the Steelers. Steelers are 2-0. They're looking good. They're at home. They're kind of a short favorite. But this line opened at Pittsburgh -6. It's now down to -4. So even though you have a majority of bets backing the Steelers at home, this line has moved to the Texans. Also look at the Texans in terms of, I don't think they're your average 0-2 team. I mean, look who they've lost to so far this year. Baltimore and Kansas City, arguably the two best teams in the NFL. But Michael Lombardi, what do you think in this one? Do you agree with this line move toward Houston? And do you like grabbing the points here with Deshaun Watson?
You know, I do. I think the numbers, this is a game that I couldn't really recommend because my numbers were really messed up on Houston, partly because of what you said, Josh. They played Baltimore, you know, and they played Kansas City. So they played the two best teams in the league, and so their numbers aren't reflective. And I think Pittsburgh's a little bit in the other way. They've played Denver with a backup quarterback, and they played the New York Football Giants, who are not very good. But in that Giant tape, you could see the Giants move the football and attack this secondary, which to me is vulnerable. And if Will Fuller plays today, that opens up the Houston offense tremendously. I do like Houston. I just couldn't feel comfortable about betting it, but I think the line is telling me Houston's a strong play today.
100%. Josh Applebaum, the Denver line is moving. Where?
Yeah, so talking about the Denver line, you know, this one's interesting. You do have a value play opportunity here, buying low on a backup quarterback with Driscoll at home. This game opened, depending on where you're looking at, before all these injuries took place, somewhere like -5.5, even -5, some are even like -3.5. But you saw all these injuries to the Broncos. Line got all the way to 6. And remember, Patrick, a key number there. We saw a lot of buyback on the Broncos at +6 at home. Also a very low total game. I think Will Hill is right. That's also kind of a sharp under 43.5 down to 42.5. But we're starting to see this line fall to 5.5 as we speak here, Patrick. And why is that important? The key number of +6 with the Broncos seems to be getting scooped up by some wise guy money, dropping it to 5.5. And if you're on Denver here, they're one of your most contrarian plays of the day. Everyone's loading up on Brady after a win and wanting to fade Driscoll. That +6 could be key. If they lose by 6, you want to push. You don't want to lose with a +5.5.
Michael, thoughts? Also, yeah, that total's plummeting as well, Michael, down from 44.5 down to 42.5.
Yeah, that's a good tip by Will Hill. The other thing I think that's important about this game is the public's all over Tampa. 77% of the tickets are coming in on Tampa, but yet they only have 12% of the money. No one's really spending any money on Tampa. It's all the little old lady from Des Moines putting a $2 ticket in on it. It's no one. There's no serious cash here. And I think that's why this line is moving down. The cash is coming in on Denver. Look, I think when you watch the Tampa offense, it's a conglomeration of Brady. It's a Leftwich, Bruce Arians. It's all over the place. I think Vic Fangio, one thing he does do a really good job of is coaching defense. I think the under's in play, and I would take the points. This line ended up exactly where my number said it was at 6, so I stayed off of it.
The antennas go up. Josh nailed it as far as the key number of 6, but the antennas go up based on what Michael just said. The money's all over Tampa, yet, Josh, we're seeing the number go towards Denver there.
Yeah, it's something you always look for. And to me, kind of the perfect mindset that I look for is against the public with the sharp money, try to beat the closing line. That's oversimplification, but that's kind of what you're looking for. So public's on Tampa Bay. Sharper money here is on Denver. You also remember Denver in September at home with that altitude, really good historically. If you can get the 6, pretty decent play there. One other game I wanted to throw at you guys that I'm looking at now, MVP Mitch, Michael Lombardi, at Atlanta. This game's interesting to me because this is one of the most lopsided games of the day where you have about 3 out of 4 tickets laying the points with Atlanta. They would match as that 0-2 trend. But what I'm seeing here, guys, this line is pretty much 3 all week. I'm starting to see it fall. It even reached 3.5 at one point. Some books are now at 2.5. So what does that tell you? It looks like a little bit of Chicago Bear plus 3 money is coming in at this point. Now flip it the other way. If you like Atlanta and you like this 0-2 trend, wait, get the minus 2.5. But Michael Lombardi, any reason to like the Bears? Can their defense limit that high-flying offense? And can you trust the Falcons laying points?
I can't, but I went with it. I thought this was the perfect play at 0-2. I think this is the Falcons' last stand. Either they get this, if they lose to Chicago and MVP Mitch at home, I think Dan Quinn's in a lot of serious trouble. I think that Matt Ryan has played well. They scored 39 points last week. I think they can, if they can play from in front in this game, and all indications are they should, and if they can put some pressure, we know Chicago's not going to score a lot of points. So I think this game gets into the 20s, 27, and I think Atlanta can win it. I think that's why I thought this was going to be a late push game on Sunday morning to Atlanta. I thought everybody was waiting for that number to keep going. I thought it was going to push to Atlanta, and it obviously is right now. It's coming back. I think that's the way this would go.
Yeah, Marquee Sports Network, you have to be honest with yourself. Sometimes you have to have an honest conversation. That's not a 2-0 football team. It's not a very good football team. Chicago, they are 26th in yards per play. They're 29th as far as pass yards per game. And that second half from Mitchell Trubisky last week, Michael's about as bad as it gets. By the way, A.J. Terrell, or Terrell, the rookie, the kid, the cornerback there with the Falcons, he's out due to COVID. But again, this is where you have to be realistic about a football team in Chicago right now. That offense, that second half was dreadful.
No doubt. I mean, and look, Mitch is so inconsistent. Now, you could say, well, Atlanta's defense is not very good, which is true. They're not very good. But I think they're athletic, and I think they're fast enough to cause some problems in that dome down there. And the one thing about Atlanta is they can score. I mean, they can really move the ball. Todd Gurley, you talk about an overpaid player. There's another one for the all-overpaid team. But, I mean, they need to be able to play from in front in this game and force the ball into Trubisky's hands to have him throw it to see if he can beat him.
Yeah, well put. The yards per play against Atlanta's 31st. Wow, not playing well as far as defensively. Now, Josh Applebaum, something that you mentioned. Well, quickly, let me get the Seahawks. The Seahawks numbers moving as well, right?
Yeah, a little bit of movement here. This one is going to be very heavily bet, 4:25 afternoon game here, obviously. The way it's looking, you know, Seattle got some early action. Some books were 3.5, even 4. They got all the way up to around 5. And then they kind of stayed at 5. But we're seeing here a little bit of movement toward the Seahawks. They're now at 5.5, so that line's moving a little bit in their favor. This is the highest total of the week, guys. This is a really, really high total game, 55.5 up to around 56.5. Historically a favorite with a high total, that does kind of correlative benefit that favorite there. So that's interesting to see. I know we got to get out of here. I want to throw this one at you, though. Carolina Panthers. Carolina Panthers are at the LA Chargers. This would fit this 0-2 trend that we're looking at here. Carolina lost that cover late. They had a shot there against the Bucs. Chargers is buy low, sell high. Chargers played great and almost beat the Chiefs here. But the Chargers open at -7. They're down to 6.5. Some books are even down to 6. Looks like a lot of buy low opportunity on Carolina, even though they lost McCaffrey in a low total game. But Michael, any reason to buy low on the Panthers here? Is that a lot of points? And what do you think of Herbert just in general?
Well, I think they get, you get a second. Now you get a chance to look at Herbert and see what he did, right? You could see that they're going to be more read option with their offense. They're going to try to limit what he's going to do in terms of how much he reads the field. And what he does. So I think there's a better handle on that. Ekeler is the key guy because he makes those loose plays really effectively. Defensively, they lose Melvin Ingram. He's out for today, so that pass rush won't be the same. I think Carolina can move the football on damn near anybody. I think Bridgewater did not play well against Tampa last week, but I think they can move the ball even without McCaffrey in the game. Mike Davis has got to step up and be that complimentary back for them. But I think this is a lot of points for the Chargers. I think Carolina will play probably their best game of the year today.
The Chargers will be used in a lot of teasers. You can go to vsin.com and enter your email address. Josh Applebaum does a great job with the daily newsletter in your email inbox every morning. And by the way, Josh, tremendous job with teaser tutorial today. Remember, when you're betting teasers in the NFL, tease through the key numbers, 3, 6s, and 7s, and betting the Chargers, bringing them down to 0.5 would be teasing, Josh. I got a minute here, through those key numbers.
Yeah, I think the key with teasers, everyone loves them, and you get these numbers that you think can't possibly lose. But I don't think you just want to blindly, and a lot of the public bettors do this. It's not their fault, but they'll just take the biggest favorites of the day, tease them down 6 points. They'll incorporate as many teams as possible together to try to maximize their teaser payout. But kind of what I wrote about in the newsletter today, be selective. Two-team teasers, six-point teasers, tease through key numbers, go through the three or the seven. That's really where you want to put your money down.
Okay, Josh, we'll talk to you next hour. And by the way, don't tease college football. It's completely different. Amal Shaw is here. There's going to be a fight on a Sunday. It's going to be about Carson Wentz between Michael Lombardi and Amal Shaw. That's coming up next as we continue. It is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.